This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings and welcome today. I'm glad you've tuned us in. Again, if you would like to contact me, I'll give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. You can get a copy of this program on a CD. You can leave me prayer requests. And if you would like to be on the subscription list for Grace and Truth, the monthly magazine that I publish in from time to time, send me your name and address, and I'll send it on to them. That subscription list is free, so if you'd like the magazine, feel free to contact me. Now, today we've gotten to Acts chapter 11, and I'm going to read from verse 1, and you'll remember that last week we were looking at how Cornelius had come to know the Lord. He was a Roman general, a Roman centurion. I would call him a Roman general, perhaps. At least an officer in the Roman army. He was not one that the Jews normally would have wanted to have seen saved. They were subject to the Romans. The Gentiles were unclean as far as the Jews were concerned. There was every reason under the sun to resent this man rather than preach the gospel to this man, but the Lord had said go, and Peter had gone. And it's interesting that it was clear that the Roman and those that were with him, that the Roman centurion and those that were with him, had been reached and saved. They had trusted the Lord, and the Holy Spirit descended upon them, and there were the early evidences of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so the case for their salvation, as far as the Jews was concerned, was undeniable. But what we're seeing today is something that we often see when we preach the gospel. Those who are not involved in the work often are the ones who criticize the work and are often the ones who resist the work. Now, I'm not talking about people who are onlookers and who support what others do that they cannot do, and there are many people like that in my own ministry. I have people who financially support me that are never available to hear my preaching. I have people support me that just know about me. They really don't, they really aren't able to stand side by side with me in some of the work that I do and work with me, but they are not critical of the work. They're supporters of the work. But I also have over the years seen that when I have done a work, particularly a work where the Lord has blessed it, that people who should have been involved in the work and could have been involved in the work are often standing on the sidelines criticizing the work. And in a sense, that's what we have here. And my point is that we don't want to be like that. We want to encourage those who are actually doing the work of the Lord. Whether we're actually there working with them side by side or not, if somebody is seeing great things done for the Lord, we should be rejoicing in that. We should not be standing in judgment of that. Acts chapter 11 and verse 1. Now the apostles and brethren who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter came up to Jerusalem, those of the circumcision, that is the Jews, contended with him, saying, "You went to uncircumcised men and ate with them." Now, I just want to stop there for a moment, because it's quite clear that they weren't denying the fact that these men had come to know the Lord, and they were not rejoicing in the fact that these men had come to know the Lord. These men really and their families had come to know the Lord. What they were doing was criticizing the fact that Peter had preached the gospel to an unclean people. And so they were criticizing the method that he had used and the people that he had gone to. Now it's interesting that the Lord uses unbelieving people, because even Peter had to be convinced that this is where he belonged, that he should preach to a man by the name of Cornelius. He had to be convinced of that, and yet, surely he knew about the Great Commission of Matthew 28. Surely he knew that he was to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He was to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Surely he knew that the gospel was to go to everyone, but it didn't sink in. It didn't make an impact on him. We always come to any new thing with our minds sort of made up, and our minds have to be changed. It's that way when we come and hear the gospel. Most of us have believed all of our lives that good people go to heaven, and so it's hard for us to accept the fact that it isn't good people that go to heaven. It's those who trust in Christ to put away their sins who go to heaven, and that in the biblical sense there is none good, no, not one. And so we have to have our minds changed on the fact that we don't earn our way to go to heaven. We come to the idea of pleasing God with our minds made up based on our culture, our background, and what makes sense. And we have to have our minds changed about those things if we're going to just simply trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and have our sins put away, forgiven, remitted. If that's going to take place, there's going to have to be a change of mind. And so it is with nearly everything we do for the Lord. The commission had been given, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I think it is in Matthew 16 or Mark 16, preach the gospel to every creature. But yet, that in the Jews' mind meant every creature from the Jewish world, not every creature from the Gentile world. And so we all find ourselves having some preconceived ideas as to how God works, and then we have to go to the scripture and find out if we are encouraging what God wants us to encourage, or whether we are standing in judgment of a work of the Lord. Now, I know there's many works out there that do not meet the scriptural guidelines when it comes to a work of the Lord. Many of them today are preaching the gospel for monetary gain, and this was never done in the early church. And so I have no problem when somebody criticizes a ministry that is not a scriptural ministry. But when they criticize a work of the Lord that was done scripturally, according to the Word of God, according to the commission of the Lord, and they stand in judgment of it because it just didn't seem like that's the way it should have been done, then we have to be very, very careful. But I want to go on to verse 4, because Peter was very patient, and I think that's unusual for Peter, because he had a tendency sometimes to be very impatient to do things that perhaps would have been considered kind of rough. He criticized the Lord for saying he was going to die. Later on, even after this, he withdrew from the Gentiles when he thought the Jews were going to criticize him. There were times when he wasn't patient. There were times when he was impulsive, but not here. Peter explained it to them in order from the beginning, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, an object descending like a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners, and it came to me. When I observed it intently and considered, I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air, and I heard a voice saying to me, 'Rise, Peter, kill and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord.'" See, at this point, this was not what he thought he should do according to the Jewish religion. He says, "For nothing common or unclean has any time entered my mouth. But the voice answered me from heaven, 'What God has cleansed you must not call common.' And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. At that very moment, three men stood before the house where I was, having been sent to me from Caesarea. Then the Spirit told me to go with them, doubting nothing. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. So again, as I mentioned last time, he wisely took witnesses with him who observed what was taking place. And he told us how he had seen an angel standing in his house, who said to him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, and who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved.'" You and all your household will be saved. What a blessing to be involved in a work like that. Now, I mentioned last time that there are some people who think that because Cornelius was probably a Jewish convert, and because his alms and his prayers had come up for a memorial before him, that he was saved before Peter ever came to him. That, in fact, all Peter was doing was showing him more about what he already believed. But that's not true, because we read here he was going to tell him words by which he and all his household would be saved. Now, I worry about this, because often we deal with very religious people who seem to be very devout and who seem to be able to say all the right words when it comes to the gospel. And yet, I wonder sometimes if we don't fail them in that we don't preach the gospel to them. Not preach the gospel to them critically, but we don't preach the gospel to them lovingly, and we don't come out and ask them, what are you depending on for eternity? Because there are many people around us that are like Cornelius. They're religious. They have thought they have pleased God. And yet they are not true believers in the truth that the only way to heaven is through the blood of Christ. They're not depending on that. Some of them are depending on baptisms. Some of them are depending on good works. Some of them are depending on church membership. They're not depending wholly on the work of the Lord. Now, as I said before, often it's these good people that are the easiest to reach with the gospel. Sometimes we say they're the hardest to reach with the gospel, but good people who are really searching are easy to reach with the gospel, because once they are convinced that what they have been depending on will not take them to heaven, they want to get the truth, because they know, and we don't have to convince them of this, that there's a God in heaven, there's a heaven to gain, there's a hell to shun. They have a fear of God. There are many of the immoral people who don't even have a fear of God today. But these are people who have a fear of God and are just misled, and are we being faithful to them and preaching the gospel to them? I sometimes feel like we need to go into our own churches and have evangelistic meetings for our own people, not because we're being critical of the people, but because we want to love the people and make sure that the second and the third generation understands what some of the first generation found out, that religion does not save, but that Christ saves. And so I wish we would be more concerned about this, because this man, though he was religious and devout, he still needed to be saved. And if he had died before Peter explained the gospel to him, he would not have been saved. He would not have gone to heaven. And yet, when I say that, I know that in the plan of God that could not have happened, because God had it arranged that this man who wanted to know the truth would hear the gospel through Peter. But he was not saved until after Peter explained the truth of the gospel to him. So then we come to verse 15, and as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as upon us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If therefore God gave the same gift as he gave them, the same gift as he gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could withstand God? And that's the question we all need to ask ourselves. Who are we that we can withstand God when he works in a way that we really don't approve of? And so the surprising conclusion is found in the 18th verse. When they heard these things, they became silent, and they glorified God, saying, then God also hath granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. And so now they realize that the gospel really is to all, that God really did love the whole world. And the interesting thing is that normally when people contend with you about the gospel, you can't change their mind. But in this case, their minds were changed. Then they did understand that what Peter had done was something that the Lord had commanded him to do, and that the gospel was to go now to the whole world. And so we trust that you, if you're listening today, are part of the world that has heard the gospel and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Our Heavenly Father, bless our lesson. Bless those who have listened today. We just commend this program into thy care in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com. bdcministries.faithweb.com. And we do thank you for listening.